Where does that power come from? It's a question we're starting to ask now. With the environment, we're more concerned about where does your power come from? Your power company, are they just burning lots of coal? Or are they actually using renewable energy? We're more concerned about this. This is where our coal, our energy comes from. I mean, it's very confusing, but it more and more comes from renewable sources than coal. Does anyone know? Put your one finger if you think A, two fingers if you think B, three if you think C. How many days has the UK managed to go coal free? This year it happened. So one finger, you got to decide. One finger if you think it's one day, two if you think it's 47, two for 57, three for 67. Who do we think? The answer is 67 days. We've done 67 days without coal, and hopefully we'll do more and more to have an impact on the environment. But the other question that we ask, and I'm sure we will ask over the next week and coming weeks, is where does political power come from? Big questions, and questions that probably weren't asked 10 years ago. But now we can see that influence goes beyond just personal presence. It's very difficult to decipher these things. But we're interested in where power comes from. And we should be. As Christians, we should be interested in where power comes from. And we're going to look at Daniel chapter 8. And we see two world powers at work in this chapter. And when we read this, you might think, what on earth? What do we get from this? And we have to ask that question. Where does power come from? And then how can we stand in the time of trials? What power do we need to be connected to? And we're going to have a look at this morning. So, Daniel chapter 8. You might want to, if you've got a Bible, you might want to get it out. It's always helpful to follow it through. In the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar, a vision appeared to me, Daniel, after that which appeared to me at the first. And I saw in the vision, and when I saw, I was in Susa, the capital, which is in the province of Elam. And I saw in the vision, and I was at the Ulai Canal. I raised my eyes and saw, and behold, a ram standing on the bank of the canal. It had two horns, and both horns were high, but one was higher than the other, and the higher one came up last. I saw the ram charging westward and northward and southward. No beast could stand before him, and there was no one who could rescue from his power. He did as he pleased and became great. As I was considering, behold, a male goat came from the west across the face of the whole earth without touching the ground. And the goat had a conspicuous horn between his eyes. He came at the ram with two horns, which he had seen on the bank of the canal, and he ran at him with powerful wrath. I saw him come close to the ram, and he was enraged against him, and struck the ram and broke both his two horns. And the ram had no power to stand before him, but he cast him down to the ground and trampled on him. And there was no one who could rescue the ram from his power. Then the goat became exceedingly great. But when he was strong, the great horn was broken. And instead of it, there came up four conspicuous horns towards the four winds of heaven. Out of one of them came a little horn, which grew exceedingly great towards the south, towards the east, and towards the glorious land. It grew great even to the host of heaven. And some of the host and some of the stars it threw down to the ground and trampled on them. It became great, even as great as the prince of the host. And the regular burnt offering was taken away from him, and the place of his sanctuary was overthrown. And a host will be given over to it, together with the regular burnt offering, because of the transgression. And it will throw truth to the ground, and it will act and prosper. Then I heard a holy one speaking. And another one, a holy one, said to the one who spoke, "For how long is the vision concerning the regular burnt offering, the transgression that makes desolate, and the giving over of the sanctuary and the host to be trampled underfoot. And he said to me, for 2,300 evenings and mornings, then the sanctuary shall be restored to its rightful state. When I, Daniel, had seen the vision, I sought to understand it. And behold, there stood before me one having the appearance of a man. And I heard a man's voice between the banks of the Ulai, and it called, Gabriel, make this man understand the vision. So he came near where I stood, and when he came, I was frightened and fell on my face. But he said to me, understand, O son of man, that the vision is for the time of the end. And when he had spoken to me, I fell into a deep sleep with my face to the ground. But he touched me and made me stand. He said, behold, I will make known to you what shall be at the latter end of the indignation. For it refers to the appointed time of the end. As for the ram you saw with the two horns, these are the two kings of Media and Persia. And the goat is the king of Greece. And the great horn between its eyes is the first king. As for the horn that was broken, in the place of it which four others arose, four kingdoms shall arise from his nation, but not with his power. And at the latter end of their kingdom, when the transgressors have reached their limit, a king of bold face, one who understands riddles, shall arise. His power shall be great, but not by his own power. And he shall cause fearful destruction, and shall succeed in what he does, and destroy mighty men and the people who are the saints. By his cunning he shall make deceit prosper under his hand, and in his own mind he shall become great. Without warning he shall destroy many, and he shall even rise up against the prince of princes, and he shall be broken, but by no human hand. The visions of the evenings and the mornings that has been told is true, but seal up the vision, for it refers to many days from now. And I, Daniel, was overcome and lay sick for some days. Then I arose and went about the king's business, but I was appalled by the vision and did not understand it. So you pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for this chapter in your word that you want to speak to us through it. Lord, thank you that it has the power to transform our lives, Lord. Your word does. And we want to ask this morning, Lord, would you speak to us? Pray, Holy Spirit, would you open our hearts, open our minds to understand what you want to say to us today, how you want to speak to us, how you want to minister to us today by your Spirit, we pray. Amen. Amen. This is a future vision. Its location is prophetic. It starts, Daniel is living under the reign of Babylon, but he finds himself in Susa. He finds himself in the province of Persia. He finds himself in somewhere that's called the capital that isn't yet the capital. He finds himself somewhere else hearing a vision of a future king. Future kings. First, we have the ram with one horn, or two horns, but one bigger than the other. And we're told that this is the king of the Medes and the Persians. The Persians were the more powerful of the two, but they came second. We're told in verse 4 that no one... Where are we? No beast could stand before him. There was no one who could rescue from his power. Powerful empire. And that word powerful is so key to this chapter. Six times is that word power used across this chapter. Across the book of Daniel, there's 12 times it's mentioned, and six in this chapter, talking about power. And the other word you might have noticed is great. It speaks about great. And we'll look at that in a minute. No one could rescue from his power. But then suddenly a goat comes. Moves at speed. It doesn't touch the ground, moves at such speed. And this is Alexander the Great. In 10 years, he conquered the whole of the Persian Empire. 10 years. Fought battle. So relentless in conquering. 10 years he did that. And then he died. Died at age 32 in Babylon. Suddenly. And his kingdom was divided in four. You see these four horns that come up. It's divided into four. Four generals. It didn't have the same sort of power, but we see that what happens is one of the horns, one arises who becomes great. The little horn. He becomes great towards the south and the east and the glorious land, the land of Israel. The identity of this ruler is Antiochus the Fourth. He's the one who came and he desecrated the temple in Israel. We celebrate Christmas. Many Jews celebrate Hanukkah. And that's to celebrate what happened when this man was overthrown. But he came into the temple. He stopped the burnt offerings. He converted it from a temple to Yahweh, which symbolized God's presence for the people. He made it into a temple for Zeus and for himself, where pigs were unclean animals. He sacrificed pig's blood in the temple. This was a horrid man. He was full of himself. We're told that he will throw truth to the ground. He will allow deceit to prosper. He will succeed in what he does. Why? Verse 10, we're told he will become great to the host of heaven. Some of the stars were thrown to the ground and trampled on him. His power source is not his own. This is someone very much in the hands of the enemy. And we, a few years ago, we looked at 1 John and we looked at the Antichrist. And he is one of those who would be considered the Antichrist. Now, if you type that in online, you would get a load of weird and wacky stuff. Okay, don't do it. It's not going to help you. But there's a multi-leveled fulfillment to prophecy. It's like a mountain peak. I mentioned this last week. But if you climb a mountain, as you climb it, you look and you see what you think is the peak. And it's the only peak you can see from where you are. And you think, that's the peak of the mountain. At this point in Daniel, they can see, look, this is the one who is going to come and set himself up against the true God, the Antichrist, the one who's against Christ. And that's who they could see. But once he passes, we have this New Testament, the beast, we have the 666 or 616. Nero. You can see from this new perspective, you can see, look, this is the one who's going to set himself up against God's people. John, when he wrote his letter, he wrote in a way that stops us predicting, and who might this person be? He says, children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard, that Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that it's the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out. And he continues. He says, this is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. We have those who set themselves up against God. That's the spirit of the Antichrist. And I don't want us to get all lost in the weirdness of that. But there are times when people will set themselves up against God. And we see that here. And if you read the history, it was not a nice time. It was not easy. We're told he shall rise up against the prince of princes. This is a reference to God. He will rise up against God. But he shall be broken by no human hand. God would bring him down. how he died, there are different accounts, but he died before he grew old, Antiochus. His name, other name Epiphanes, meant God manifest. This is who he thought he was. And he was broken down and he died early. We're told that Daniel's told to seal it up. Seal up the vision, because it's not for now. And Daniel himself says he's overcome and lay sick for many days. He was concerned by what he saw. And this morning, you might be overwhelmed with what you see around you. You might be overwhelmed by the evil that's in the world. You might be overwhelmed by the self-centeredness of people, by police brutality, by racism, by terrorism, by the things that you see that are put before you. And I want to ask the question, why was Daniel given this vision? Why be given a vision of something that is so difficult? And I believe there's five reasons, and I believe these five reasons are reasons that we should hold on to and allow to transform our lives today. And the first is that to hold fast in times of trial. James 1 says, count it all joy, my brothers and sisters, when you meet various kinds of trial. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. The testing of our faith produces perseverance. We need to hold fast. We need to trust that what God has promised, he is still working. And you don't trust when that belief is not being challenged. When there's no challenge to your belief and your faith, you're not having to trust. It's when you recognize, this doesn't seem like I thought it would be. This is more difficult. This is more challenging, that we need to hold on and say, I'm holding on to God's promises. They're in this book. God's given me this. I'm going to hold on fast to them. No matter what the world looks like around me, I'm going to hold on fast. And that's something that we've got to all learn to do in this time, to keep holding fast to God's promises. Thank you. That's what we need to do. If you're thinking, I don't know what I'm holding on fast to, get into your Bible. Get some scriptures that you know. Print them out. Stick them up on your wall. I'm holding on to God's promises. These are what I'm holding on to in this time. Because we're in a time of trial. Not the kind of trial they were in, which was prophesied here. But we are in a time of trial, and we need to hold fast to God's promises. To keep coming back to them. To pray into them. To say, God, you said this. I'm not seeing that. Lord, would you answer my prayer? Lord, would we see you move in power? Would this change? We need to get before God. So key. And it was great what TJ shared with us about prayer last week and how that transformed Daniel's life, how that was so key to what he did. Even in the face of persecution, three times a day, I'm going to pray, as I've always done. And that's what we need to be doing. We need to recognize that we have an enemy. We have an enemy. An enemy who wants to destroy, likened to a lion. And we need to put on the full armor of God. We need to recognize that our enemy is not a human being. The enemy wasn't Antiochus. It was the spiritual forces behind Antiochus. Our fight is not against flesh and blood. Our fight is against the principalities. And the only way we can fight, and the only way we can stand, is in Jesus Christ. And by prayer, not by fighting with weapons. Put on the full arm of God so that you can take your stand. If you're struggling at the minute, get yourself into Ephesians 6. Read it through. Pray it through. God, would you help me? Would you help me to stand firm in this time? For many of us, future lockdown does not fill us with joy. It fills us with a sense of depression and sadness. And we need to get before God and say, God, would you help us walk through this time together? Would you help us to do it as a church family? Would you help me in my times when I'm struggling and I'm feeling weak? The next thing is we need to seek God's presence. If we, which we will next week, we'll turn over the page and look at Daniel 9, and Daniel prays. He prays to God. And we need to seek God. This scripture, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Hold fast to that. God, you've given us a spirit of power. Lord, help us to stand. I want to announce this morning, we didn't do it in the notices, but we're going to start again our day of prayer. We need to pray. Agreed? We need to pray, don't we? And throughout, 12 weeks of the first lot of lockdown, we were praying. Thursdays, we were giving ourselves to pray. And we're going to do that again. And I'm going to send you a message right now that tells you how to do it. Because I don't want to forget. And I've set it all up, so here we go. Be ready with your phone. There we go. And you, James, I want to encourage you that on the Unity group, someone said, wonderful speech, James. Isabella, you must be so proud. We're going to sign up an hour slot. Give yourself an hour. You're going to seek God. And we're going to do what we did last time. I'm going to send messages on our group, encourage us. Encourage each other by what God is saying. God speaks to you prophetically. Share it. We're going to use that as an opportunity to engage with God. 5 o'clock in the morning to 11 o'clock. You pick your slot. Okay, but we're going to pray. Every Thursday through November, we're going to pray. We're going to seek God. We're going to see what God wants to do in us and through us during this time. The fourth thing is that we value the prophetic. This was a prophetic vision, a prophetic word given to the people. Different from a prophetic word you might receive from a friend. We're not going to write it down and put it in the book and add it to the back of our Bibles with staples. Not the same, but there is still the gift of prophecy. And I can tell you that there have been times in my life where the prophetic word that people have given have shaped my life significantly. And cause me to hold on through hard times. And I want to encourage us. Paul says that we should seek spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. I want to encourage you during this time, maybe during our days of prayer, we pray for our nation, but we pray, God, would we see this prophetic gift manifest itself more and more amongst us? Pray for a prophetic word. When you're praying for the nation, when you're praying for other things, say, God, would you speak to me? Give me something that I can share and encourage others on the Unity group. We need the prophetic. It's so key. As Daniel wrote this down, as he sealed it up, many, many years later, when those who were facing Antiochus opened this up and read what was said, they knew this is a season. This is going to happen for a time. And what Antiochus didn't anticipate was the sheer will and grit of God's people to stand up against this emperor. And they threw him out. They threw him out of the temple. They threw him out of the city. And 2,300 days later, they reinstated worship of Yahweh at the temple. They did it. But they knew that it was a season, and they had the prophetic word to base what they were thinking to hold on to during that time. And we need to value the prophetic. We need to value the prophetic that's in our Bibles. We need to value what we're given because it will help shape and transform our lives and help us to stand firm in times of trial. And I want to encourage you, if you, during this time, if you suddenly think, I've not spoken to that person for a while, I wonder what's going on in their life, make that phone call. A few weeks ago, I was another church leader, and I thought, I've not seen them for a while. Just in my mind a couple of times, just sent a message, and he said, I really want to meet up. You know, I've got some stuff I'd love to talk through. But it was that sense of God speaking to me. I opened that doorway So if God speaks to you and you have someone, just keep going in your mind, give them a call. Whether it's from the church, whether it's not, give them a call. Allow God to speak to you. Final thing, remember Jesus' victory. They're told one sentence in this chapter, one sentence, it's going to be, they're told, and he shall even rise up against the prince of princes, God himself, and he shall be broken, but by no human hand. One sentence of hope in a chapter. One sentence. But for us, we read this chapter, and your ears might have pricked up when we got to Gabriel. Make this man understand the vision. Gabriel. Hold on, I've heard that name before. Gabriel, make this man understand this vision. Gabriel speaks to him, and then many years later, Gabriel would be sent on another mission to help someone understand. It says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, greetings, O favoured one, the Lord is with you. And she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what kind of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favour with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Remember earlier I said to you that we have the word great time and time again in that chapter. He will be great. He will be considered great. He will think he's great. And then we come here. He will be great. Not the greatness of Antiochus, not the greatness of any of those empires. He will be great, truly great, and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end. Amen? We've called this series, One Thing Remains. One thing remains, God's kingdom. That's what really matters. Oh.
One thing remains, by Jesus.
Sorry, I managed to activate Siri on my phone. I don't know how, but there you go. But one thing remains, God's kingdom. And we've got to remember that there is a victory. Jesus is already victorious. He's already risen from the dead. He's already paid the price for sinful humanity by his death on the cross. He's coming again, and he's coming victorious. And we have to hold on to that. Lord, should we pray? I invite Liz and Grace to come up. Oh, we read chapters like this, and some of it we don't understand, some of it's difficult. But Lord, as we look at Scripture and we look at what you do, we see that the evil purposes of men, the evil purposes of the evil one, will not succeed. He's a defeated enemy, and you defeated him. Not through weapons of war, but through your own sacrifice on the cross. He said, I will die for sinful humanity so that sinful humanity may be made righteous and have new life and have victory over the battle that they could not win. And Lord, we recognize that you are the one who is truly great. And we ask you, Lord, by your Spirit, would you come and minister to us? As we listen to a song declaring that you're here, declaring that you're the way maker, that you're the one who makes a way, we want to ask you, Lord, that you would meet with us and that you would strengthen us for this next month, for this next period of time as we face new challenges. But Lord, I want to pray that we would not just look at the challenges, but we would look at the opportunities that you are giving us. Opportunities to send messages, opportunities to speak to neighbours, opportunities to show acts of love and mercy. because, Lord, your kingdom is still growing. And we might feel the church is locked down, we're losing something, but Lord, you are still advancing your kingdom and saving many. And we want to live in that faith that, Lord, you're advancing your kingdom around the world, you're advancing your kingdom in our lives. And we pray, Lord, would you minister to us now as we listen to this song, as we encounter you. Lord, minister to us, we pray, that we may be a light to the world around us, and we may bring hope where there is no hope. Lord, we don't want to be those who just get caught up in the hopelessness of this situation, but we want to be those who live in great hope of what you're going to do in these days. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.